Well, it's the end of the year. What do you feel were the biggest stories of 2013 in the church and in the world? And the hypergrace controversy is ready to explode.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks so much for joining us as we come to the end of 2013, today and tomorrow, 2 days left on the calendar year, and then we start a brand new year. And even though every day is the same, if you know what I mean, it's nothing changes in some cosmic level from one day to the next. And yet, it's often good to stop, to reflect, to look back, to consider. It's often good to look at where we've come from, where we are, to evaluate where we're going. So I got a lot of things I want to talk to you about today, but I'm eager to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I was looking at some articles where websites were saying these were our most read articles of the year, top news stories, other websites asking people, pick your top story. What do you think was the top story for the year? I'm curious to know your thoughts, be it secular, be it spiritual. In your mind, what was the biggest story of 2013? Now, I understand it could be something in your own life. In other words, if you want to look at it a certain way, you met the love of your life, or you had your first child or something like that, or a trauma that you personally went through. But I'm asking on a national or an international level, what do you think was the biggest story of 2013? A couple things I want to throw out at the outset. I also want to tell you what's happening with Hypergrace, my book, and the controversy surrounding it. Also, a very interesting prayer that was prayed over me after I ministered to some committed men in the greater Charlotte area on Saturday night. This all will tie in a moment. But I want to throw out a couple things to you first. One website said that the biggest story of 2013 was the rollout of Obamacare and the failings, and shortcomings of the system. The fact that I barely talked about that on the air is another indication that I am not a conservative radio talk show host out to bash the president. I'm not looking for opportunities to bash him. In fact, I don't even think like that. If he does say certain things or do certain things that grieve me and that get on my radar, or that I feel are very important and positive that get on my radar, I'm happy to talk about him. But my orientation, my focus is kingdom of God. My orientation, my focus is what is God doing in our midst and how can we advance the gospel today? Of course, it intersects with politics. Of course, we talk about social moral issues. But I just want to point that out for those who, even after all these years, still might be a little sensitive. If I raise an issue with Mr. Obama, look at the larger context. I'm not an Obama basher, nor do I just identify as a conservative, and I certainly don't identify as a Republican, and obviously not as a Democrat. I am an equal opportunity offender in that respect. I'm happy to speak the truth in love, regardless of the consequences or who likes it on either end. Another thing to throw out is Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty, the new face of Christianity, of evangelical Christianity in America? Or is Pope Francis the new face of Christianity? Just something I've been mulling on. Again, your thoughts. What's the biggest story? Biggest single story? Spiritual, in the world, American, international. Biggest story of 2013, 866-34-TRUTH. Change the world. Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. As we come your way live towards the end of this year, planning to be live with you on New Year's Eve as well. What do you think were the biggest stories, the single biggest story of 2013, be it in the church world, be it in the secular world, in America or internationally? 866-34-TRUTH. As I'm looking at CNN.com interactive website, where they asked their viewers, listeners, what do you think were the biggest stories of the year? It's interesting with the list that they came up with. The number one story was the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI, first pope to resign in almost 600 years, and then the installation of the new pope named Pope Francis, who has shaken things up in many ways, for good, for bad, that's being debated. The next top story that was listed, Boston Marathon attacks. Obviously, many, many lives still left in devastated fashion after those horrific events. Number three, the death of Nelson Mandela. Obviously, something of great international interest. Number four, the Edward Snowden leaks with NSA. Number five, federal government shutdown. Was that really a story? How much of a shutdown was there? And number six, Obamacare rollout debacle. Number seven, Philippines typhoon. And of course, as that's so far away from most of us here in America, something we wouldn't really think about because we read about it. Now life seems to go on. In point of fact, tens of thousands of lives, well, hundreds of thousands affected to this moment. Many of our grads in the Philippines are actively involved with bringing relief in the midst of that tragedy. Number eight, Syria civil war. Yet that continues to roll on, and the loss of life there, human suffering, staggering. Number nine, the Cleveland kidnappings, obviously affecting a smaller number of people, but of such horror that women were held as sex hostages for many, many years, right in the midst of a home in Cleveland. And then number 10, the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex so-called marriage. I say so-called, the story just says same-sex marriage. That was number 10. In your mind, what's listening? What's missing from that? What should be on that? What do you agree with and why? Can I tell you something as I look at a list like that? And by the way, if you've got something that you wanted to contribute that's on that list, that's fine. But you know what strikes me as I read that, as I look at that, that this world has tremendous upheaval, that there is great suffering and pain in this world. Most of it doesn't reach the headlines. Most of it doesn't even reach us in a way that's spread virally on internet. But every day, pain, suffering. And if we simply logged it all, journaled it all, every tragedy, every natural disaster, every act of war, and on and on and on, it'd be utterly staggering. On the flip side, notice that there were very few stories there, almost none, in terms of human virtue, in terms of acts of courage or heroism, in terms of divine intervention. When I say human virtue, I mean with God's grace and help, so don't get on me about that comment, all right? That in point of fact, there is very little that we hear about what God is doing and what his people are doing. And what others are doing as people created in his image, so our perception can often be slanted that everything is bad, negative, downhill, deteriorating, falling apart. On the one hand, that is the state of the world and the human race. Terrible suffering, pain, deterioration, and destruction. On the flip side, God is working in the midst of it. And if we could log all of the amazing things, all of the radical salvations, all of the people delivered, all of the people healed, all of the lives transformed, all of the acts of courage and sacrifice, it would really stagger us. It would stagger us. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tony in Westchester, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, how you doing, sir? I'm just calling in regards to, I noticed you were saying that one of the top three moments that I think a lot of us were pretty much in shock was in regards to Pope Benedict resigning. Now, I wanted to just elaborate and add on that to that significant moment in history. Like you stated, it's been a few hundred years that a
Pope 600, and it was in this case simply health related, where the Pope said, "You may not know it, but I don't have the stamina and strength to continue to serve in this capacity.
I totally know that, and I've read upon that. But I think the significant thing that happened that a lot of people really did not pay too much attention to, that I think it was a sign from above, was when St. Petersburg Square got struck by lightning moments after he resigned. And I just think that was a sign from above that, you know, what God may not be happy with what's going on, you know, with you know, the current, you know, Christianity and amongst other religions out there in the world. And I just think that was a pretty significant sign that a lot of people should really take a look at as well.
So what do you think, did it signify, just this is simply your opinion, did it signify that God was not pleased with the Vatican or Pope Benedict or the new Pope or Christianity in general? Just your opinion, Tony.
My opinion, I think Christianity in general, and also the Vatican, because, I mean, when God, I feel like God, in my eyes, struck that St. Petersburg Square Cathedral moments after he resigned. Either it could have went two ways. He was not happy that Pope Benedict resigned, or he is not happy with what's going on with the religion. That is my opinion.
Got it. Hey, Tony, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it very much. You know what's interesting? One of the most reported stories, talked about stories of the year, comes at the end of the year with regard to Duck Dynasty and Phil Robertson and his comments. And then we have the resignation of the Pope and Pope Francis and the different approach he has. I don't say changes in terms of doctrine, Catholic doctrine, but different approach to the papal office. It's interesting that you've got these two major stories that both have to do with Christianity or Christian beliefs with two completely different gentlemen. I wrote an article. You can read it by going to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. It's called Bill O'Reilly and Piers Morgan Seek to Reinvent Christian Morality. And I dissect some of what they say, Piers Morgan's comments being far, far worse than Bill O'Reilly's comments. But still, I take exception to some of what Bill O'Reilly said as well. I analyzed what they had to say on two of their broadcasts about 10 days ago. But then I say at the end of the article, it's one thing to question whether Phil Robertson should be the new face of evangelical Christianity in America. In my book, he should not, with all respect to him for holding his ground on these sexual moral issues. It's another thing to rewrite the Bible and reinvent Christian morality in an attempt to make it more palatable to the world. Raises a question. Should we look to a Phil Robertson as a new face of evangelical Christianity? Do we want to distance ourselves from that and say, hey, he's a man of conviction, but I don't want people to think of him when they think of the gospel? Or, as Pope Francis, put aside the fact that most of you listening are not Catholic, many of you are, but most are not, I assume, is Pope Francis the one that you want to say, oh, you know, the way he's breaking down these barriers and the way he's showing a heart for the poor and the way that he's saying we can't be so dogmatic in some of our public statements or focus on things so much because people get turned off. Is that, in fact, the new face of Christianity? We come back. I want to take your calls. I want to talk about some of these issues with you. And then I want to give you an update on hyper grace. I think you're going to find this very interesting. And friends, these are major controversies that directly affect us in our society. What I'm going to be talking to you about with hyper grace directly affects things in our society that we are dealing with on a regular basis. 866-34-TRUTH. Remember our special meetings and book signings, Nassau County, Suffolk County, New York City, next week, January 8th and 9th.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. We're looking back a little bit at the year 2013, and I want to be looking ahead in the days to come, and in particular on New Year's Day, really encourage you and really help build your faith in terms of how to seek the face of God and take hold of God to see his promises for your life come to pass in 2014 or on his timetable as we work and cooperate with him. By the way, if you saw the Piers Morgan show, then you would have seen my interaction with Piers Morgan, conservative radio show host Ben Ferguson, and academic and liberal media personality Mark Lamont Hill. And I've had a little Twitter interaction with Mark Lamont Hill today in terms of his willingness and openness to have a formal debate conversation in a neutral setting about the issues that divide us regarding the Bible and homosexual practice. So hopefully that'll happen. I'll keep you posted on that. 866-34-TRUTH. I just want to say a couple of things regarding Phil Robertson and regarding Pope Francis, as these were big stories of the year. Regarding Phil Robertson, I absolutely appreciate the fact that he and his family said, hey, we're not backing down from conviction. And I believe they would have walked away from the lucrative contract and everything else they had with A&E if A&E did not back down. Now, the fact that A&E said, okay, we're reinstating Phil Robertson after, what, a nine-day suspension, indicates this had nothing to do with moral choices. This had to do with money. And even if initially they were siding with certain gay sensitivities, the fact is it was not some moral change of heart or reevaluating Phil Robertson's stance. It, from my perspective and the perspective of most, this had to do with one thing and one thing only: money. Which means that as believers in Jesus on our side, standing for moral values, as gay activists standing for different values that they would say are moral values, we have to realize that a lot of what influences society is not moral rightness and wrongness, but simply money, often greed. That's a fact. It's outrageous that Phil Robertson was treated the way he was and was temporarily suspended for his comments. And on that score, I absolutely stand with him and his family and stand against those who opposed him. At the same time, and put aside racially related comments entirely, it's just a total separate story right now. At the same time, I'm not looking for him to be the voice of the gospel for this generation. God uses the foolish things to confound the wise, absolutely. But I am not looking for him to be the new voice and to be the new face of the gospel. There are many things in terms of the way he would communicate that would be off-putting to others. And obviously, while I stand with him in terms of his biblical convictions, and I stand with him in terms of his right to freely express these things and say there is no basis for him to be suspended even for 9 days, at the same time, I am not now going to rally behind the Robertson clan and say this is the new face of Christianity in America. Now, with regard to Pope Francis, It's interesting that The Advocate, which is the leading flagship gay publication, now advocate.com online, named Pope Francis Man of the Year. Now, in fact, he never changed. He doesn't have the power to just change the Catholic Church's views on homosexual practice or on abortion. In fact, he elsewhere made statements that were very clear about these issues, in particular about abortion. But he did change perceptions as to what Christianity is like. I'm not a Catholic, but I very much appreciate someone breaking down the stereotypes, someone saying, hey, it is about care for the poor. It is about care for the needy. It is about reaching out to the hurting. It is about being touchable, not untouchable. That, I think, is wonderful. And that is obviously something about Jesus that appealed very, very deeply to the masses in his day. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Judy in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. One of the most newsworthy articles or events that really made an impression on me was she was at the time 15-year-old Malala, I think it's Yousafzai. She was the Pakistani teenager that was shot in the head by the Taliban for
promoting
education for girls. And the reason why this is so kind of touched my heart was, I'm not sure if she's Christian or Muslim, but to me,
she's Muslim.
She's Muslim. Well, to me, being a Christian, she just really exemplifies the Christian spirit of fortitude and resolve and trying to promote and take a stand for good versus evil. In fact, I have the article in front of me. It was in the Washington Post, and this is a quote from her. She says, and I quote, "Let us pick up our books and our pens. They are our most powerful weapons. One child, one teacher, one book, and one pen can change the world. Education is the only solution." So I was surprised that she was not on the list, and I just admire her for her resolve and her principles.
Yeah, Judy, thank you so much for reminding us of that at the end of the year, and bringing up her name again. It is either miraculous or nearly miraculous that she survived. It did get world attention, but you know what's so interesting, Judy? If she hadn't been shot, there would have been lot less attention. It's often these horrific things that then get turned around. And it also reminds us of radical Islam, and the Taliban are considered radical by many other Muslims, how utterly destructive a religious faith it is. Hey, Judy, thank you so much for the call. This week, my interviews, TV and radio, with Sid Roth are airing all over America, all over the world. And the Hypergrace book, that's what we focused on, is now getting a lot of attention. Within 2 hours of me posting on Facebook saying, hey, folks, I just want you to know that by addressing abuses in the grace message, I'm going to be touching sacred cows. Even though I do it graciously, even though I do it with a heart of honor and respect for those I differ with, I am touching some sacred cows here, and there is going to be an emotional reaction. Well, within a couple hours of posting that, a couple of bogus reviews immediately appeared on Amazon. One saying, this book by, quote, doctor, it's got doctor in quotes, is so unbalanced and excludes much scripture. Don't read this heresy. Grace is the gospel. Then with two quotes, Acts 20:24 and Galatians 1:6. Obviously, the person who, by the way, put a link up to their website, is a minister, hadn't even read the book. When there was such an outcry against it, I guess he had the sense to pull it. I just copied it from my own records earlier. But this is the flack that's going to come, and that underscores the importance of the message. We alone have numbered first edition copies. I will sign these and send them to you for your gift of $30 or more. Call 1-800-278-9978. This is the last week we're doing this with numbered, signed original copies. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. My joy to be with you today, live on this day before New Year's Eve, talking about some of the most important stories of 2013, talking about spiritual things that took place and things that took place in the larger society. 866-348-7884. I was just looking at my email during the break, and there was an email that came in from a colleague working with another organization, and the subject of the email was this: can one person make a difference? Can one person make a difference? It's really important to recognize that God only has individuals to use. In other words, when God is dealing with a nation, that nation is still composed of individuals. And the nation does not respond as a whole, but individuals respond to God. And if individuals respond in a large enough way or a serious enough way, then that can have a national impact in terms of how the nation responds. But one individual life can make a massive difference. The last call that we took in the last half hour was from a woman who wanted to talk about the Pakistani teenage girl who spoke up for the right to be educated and was shot in the head by Taliban who wanted to kill her. She survived that. By God's grace and with excellent medical care, she survived that. But that was a courageous stand to take. Who is she? She's a nobody in that respect. In other words, she had no media connections, where she was already in her 30s and a major talk show host or something like that. She was not a movie star that everyone would know in her country. She was not a political leader. She was not the prime minister of her country or political leader. She was not a famous author. She didn't have access to lots of things that many of us have access to. She simply spoke with conviction. Hey, who was Rosa Parks? Another individual, another woman who was in that sense a nobody, but she acted on conviction. And that was the spark that was needed to ignite the modern civil rights movement, as civil rights leaders were looking for the right kind of person to get behind. Now, that being said, it's good to realize that nobody is anybody. In other words, we are all just clay in the potter's hands. The excellence of the power, the excellence of the glory is his. And I remember years ago when our daughters were younger teenagers, now they're in their mid-30s, somebody was all excited to get to meet me. They thought it was some big thing to get to meet me. And our older daughter, Jen, I mean, maybe she was just 12 or 13 at that point. She said, you know, Dad, all these people want to meet you and they think you're somebody. She said, but you're just Dad. She said, so nobody really is anybody. I said, exactly right. In other words, we're all just people. We're all just people. You can put us in front of a camera. You can put us behind a microphone. You can make our names famous. You could replay our acts on the big screen. Everyone could know our name, but nobody's anybody. In ourselves, we are nothing. The greatness that we can achieve is through the grace of God. And never discount how God can use your life. Never discount the impact that you could make, even if nobody even knows your name and you get no earthly credit for it. You have no idea the impact you could make. Alone in prayer, an act of obedience to a stranger, a gift given to a ministry, a word spoken in season, a stand taken. You have no idea how God could use you as an individual to make a difference.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I got to share this with you. This, you have to understand that every day there are going to be people who are attacking me or differing with me. And it's going to be the same with other public figures who take stands on controversial issues. So I know that that's part of the territory. And some of it actually encourages me when I see there's opposition for doing what is right. If my spirit is right, my attitude is right, the flack is not coming because of something wrong in me, but rather the flack is coming because of standing for righteousness, then bring it on. It energizes me. It never discourages me. And again, it's quite the contrary. It adds holy fuel to my fire. There's some things that are just so ridiculous, though, that you just have to laugh. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And we'll come back to the question about top 10 stories or what you think was the top number one issue story of 2013, be it church-related, be it secular society-related, be it American, be it international. But I don't see or respond to probably 99% of the comments that come in on all of our different websites and through Facebook and so on. It wouldn't really be humanly possible to do it. It would certainly be a tremendous distraction and take me away from what I'm supposed to be doing, even if I could do it. But I see certain things that do come in on just a feed. Most of them I don't look at, don't have time to, and it's discussion others are having between themselves. And as we're providing a forum on our YouTube page, on our Line of Fire page, and other settings, and our Facebook page. And if you're listening, say, I don't know about those pages, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on the YouTube icon on top, and you'll get right to our YouTube channel, or click on latest video at the bottom of the page, or just click on the Facebook icon or Twitter icon. You can connect with us in those ways, and you'll be getting instant notification as soon as articles go live or different things happening. You'll know instantly. Anyway, I happen to notice this one post. It was on our YouTube channel responding to my debate with Dr. Sam Waldron, a brother and colleague in the Lord who's a cessationist, and of course I am not. But we're brothers in the Lord with mutual honor and respect for the Word of God and for one another in the Lord. So someone, and I'll fix the grammar on this post so that you don't get distracted. I only mention the first name, Michael. Dr. Brown claims to be sola scriptura, meaning that my sole authority for life and practice is Scripture, not a church tradition, not another holy book afterwards, not an experience or a subsequent prophetic word, but Scripture. I believe God continues to speak because of Scripture. I believe God continues to heal because of Scripture. I believe what I believe because of Scripture. If you could show me Scripture I was wrong, then I would change my beliefs. Dr. Brown claims to be sola scriptura, but how can I believe him knowing he is an Arminian? So the fact that I'm not a Calvinist, how in the world could I possibly be sola scriptura and not be a Calvinist? Oh, it gets better, worse. How can I believe him knowing he's an Arminian and a Trinitarian? Oh, the fact that I believe that God is complex in his unity and is Father, Son, and Spirit, that means I can't be basing my beliefs on Scripture alone. How can I believe him knowing he's an Arminian and a Trinitarian? Worse, he is a charismatic. So I guess the only ones that are kosher in his eyes are cessationists, Calvinists, non-Trinitarians, of which I know none, by the way. I don't know any that fit that specific description. I looked at that, I thought, oh boy, some people. And you think, well, of course, he's right. Everybody else is wrong. He's right. 866-34-TRUTH. I also noticed something interesting. When people attack me, they will often put doctor in quotes or degree in quotes as if I didn't earn a PhD. Then if they're attacking a book, they'll say his so-called book, as if, say, a book was 700 pages of length and 1,500 endnotes and meticulous research done over a period of years is not a book. One guy once went after me as a phony activist who wrote a phony book and had a phony degree. And by the way, I could care less. So I was never known as Dr. Brown until the mid-90s when I was in Pensacola, and that's how I started to become known and then became known as that around the world. Everyone just knew me as Mike Brown. So, and it's only recent books that I've allowed the publisher to put PhD on the front cover. They've asked for it, and they said just to enhance, you know, your credentials and so on. So I've agreed to do it, but I never agreed to do that for my first 20-something books. I said, fine, if it'll help with the discussion, I'm willing to do that. But the thing, and my degree literally is in a box somewhere in storage in a closet. I don't know where. I learned what I learned. I deeply respect the professors I studied with and the environment of learning I had at New York University. And it greatly helped me in many ways in my understanding of ancient languages and study methods and so on and so forth. But otherwise, I mean, what is, we're all, as I said earlier, just clay. But what I'm finding interesting now is that the two principal groups that are attacking me in this way are in the gay activist side or professing gay Christians and those in the hyper grace camp. It's fascinating. The bizarre reaction, and rather than dealing with the issues and say we have a difference on the issues, okay, let's discuss them. Let's discuss the substance. Let's discuss the substance of my Hyper Grace book. Let's discuss it rather than calling it heresy when you haven't even read the book, or unbalanced and leaving out lots of scriptures. Oh, yeah, show me one scripture of importance about grace that we didn't discuss. Why not discuss the issues? Someone else wrote this in another bogus review from an obvious non-reader. Dr. Brown does not understand what grace is. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of grace according to Acts 20:24 and Galatians 1:6. We should receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness in order to reign in life. Romans 5, also scripture states our heart should be established in grace. Hebrews 13. If one agrees with this book, one does not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. I challenge anyone to say that after reading the first chapter of the book, Why I Love the Message of Grace, or other chapters where I expound at great length on what grace really is, or the last chapter of the book on the finished work of the cross. It's this emotional reaction, friends, that's so dangerous. I want to encourage you, don't have your pet doctrine. Don't have your pet belief, your pet view that if someone touches that, you have an emotional reaction. Should be able to say, okay, let me hear your points. Now let me show you why I differ. And maybe you don't have the ability to get into a sophisticated intellectual battle over certain things. Say, hey, I've always believed this and it's precious to me. That's fine. But just be able to explain why you believe it at least, or why it's precious to you without taking it personally. And one other note, I do mention quite a few authors in the book: Joseph Prince, Steve McVeigh, Clark Witten, Andrew Farley, Paul Ellis, John Crowder. Quite a few authors I cite. I did my best to cite them fairly. I did my best to cite them in context. In some cases, we even asked for permission to cite them at more length so that they could be cited in their own words as much as possible. And all but one was very happy to have us do that. But I want to say this, if you are friends with any of those that I mentioned, or when you get the Hyper Grace book, if your name is mentioned in it, you are welcome to come on this radio show if you are mentioned in the book and discuss the issues with me. Or if you feel I'm wrong in my position, or you feel that I wrongly represented your position, you have an open door to come on this radio broadcast. In fact, we've contacted a number of those cited to say, would you like to come on and discuss the issues? And I'll tell you this, if someone did that with me, that they cited me in a book, which happens regularly, and they differed with me, and they say, we'd like you to come on our network, even if I got one third of the time they did, or one quarter of the time, as long as I got to say some things, I would take that joyfully, in a heartbeat. To the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, our friend Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Michael. And before I make my comments, I want to let you know how much you're appreciated by me and many others for standing for truth no matter what. And God bless you and continue to open those doors for you to stand for Christ.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, tell you what, hang on just one split second. I've got a break coming up. I don't want to rush you, so stay right there. Friends, we're coming to New York. We're coming to Long Island next week, January 8th, Wednesday night, Freeport, Long Island. I'll be speaking at Word of Life Church and then doing a book signing of Hyper Grace and Authentic Fire afterwards. Then Thursday morning, Middle Island, 9 in the morning, Pastors Leaders Breakfast. I'll be giving you a talk about these books, taking your questions, doing a book signing. And then all afternoon with Kevin McCullough, 1 to 6 in the afternoon, January 9th, Thursday at the American Bible Society, live radio, book signing. I'll tell you more when we come back.
Fire we want, for fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. We've been talking about a few different issues today as we come to the end of the year. One of them, in your view, top stories, be they spiritual, be they secular, top stories of 2013. American, international, 866-34-TRUTH. Right before the break, we were on with our friend from Brooklyn, Chaplain Viviana. What was your thought on the most important story of 2013?
Wow, this story has so many levels. I'm trying to be as precise as I can. This is the first time that a Christian pastor, well, for me, not the first time, but a Christian pastor who could have been freed during the negotiations between Iran and Secretary of State Kerry, Pastor Abedini, Saeed, could have been freed, and the American government left him behind. They freed a terrorist, and they did not demand the release. Of Pastor Saeed, and his wife even spoke to the Congress. He's an American citizen, and just for the fact that he was there trying to start an orphanage, they didn't like the fact that he converted from being a Muslim to a Christian, and just for what he believes, he is in the most heinous prison that you can even imagine, and our country left him behind.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the big issues. And, of course, there's a tremendous amount of discussion about that, what actually happened, what America could and couldn't have done. Some said that the new leader of Iran, who replaced Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, had to show that he was being loyal to the radicals. Others said it was his great opportunity to send a message to America. The fact, and whether Pastor Saeed at any point was engaged in evangelistic opportunities, the fact is he was over there as an American in Iran, and he was doing humanitarian work in the midst of it, and has been apprehended. To me, the biggest thing, and thanks as always for the call, hope to see you in the city next week. To me, the big thing about that is the reminder of the fact that many, many believers are suffering terribly around the world, that our heart goes out to Pastor Saeed and his family. And yes, it does seem that America could have done more to get him out. And with his imprisonment, while we pray for him and pray for his family, it raises the larger issue of so many believers still suffering for the gospel. Now, it's promised. I understand that it's promised. Throughout the New Testament, almost every single book of the New Testament promises suffering and opposition because of the gospel. That is simply a way of life for following Jesus. And if we don't have some level of opposition somewhere for the gospel, believers around the world, it means either we're doing something wrong or Jesus has come back and the opposition has been destroyed, removed. And is no longer on the scene. But in this world, there will be tribulation, difficulty. And Pastor Saeed has reminded us as well of the many, many who are suffering, who are tortured, who are imprisoned, who are going through things that are unimaginable. I've tried to do it for years. If I ever found myself in a really uncomfortable position, be it in the dentist chair, in the dentist's office, having a root canal and being in some level of pain or discomfort, or being in some other situation where I'm in bodily pain, or to use that as a reminder to pray for the suffering church. I don't mean it's the only time I do that, but I've used it as a reminder, however small it is, to think someone's going through unimaginable pain and suffering right now. Someone is at the breaking point. Someone is in solitary confinement, ready to lose their mind. Someone has gone beyond the limit of endurance. Some family member in agony, separated from their family, not knowing where everyone else is. And you never know if your prayers at that moment are the very things that God uses to carry that person and to help them. Right now, we need to be praying for Christians in the Middle East and Northern Africa, as there is a concerted effort by radical Islam to wipe out the Christian presence and witness in a way that has not been seen for many centuries. You say that could never happen. Well, it happened to a great extent about 700 plus years ago. The gospel continues to move forward, but there are often terrible, terrible consequences. So another reminder, January 9th, this is a Thursday afternoon, 1 to 6 at the American Bible Society in Manhattan. Admission is free, but you need to register to get your tickets to get in. The schedule is 1 to 2 in the afternoon, doing live American Family Radio TV with Kevin McCullough. Then 2 to 3, I'll be doing the Line of Fire broadcast live, and Kevin will be joining me. Then from 3 to 4, as we're on back-to-back on WMCA, he will then continue with his show, and I'll be on with him. So you've got a few hours to join Kevin McCullough and me for live radio and TV. And then at 4 o'clock, I will be giving a talk about my two new books, Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message, and Authentic Fire, a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. After that, I'll be taking your questions about these books and the subjects of these books, and then doing a book signing. So between 4 and 6, if that's the only time you can come for, I'll be speaking about these books, taking your questions live, face-to-face, and then doing a book signing, and we'll be out by 6. So please join me. I know for many of you that's work time and busy schedule, but it's hey, I don't know the next time we'll do something like this. I can tell you we've never done anything like it before. My appreciation to WMCA for hosting this, and then my appreciation to Hope Radio for hosting our meeting in Suffolk County for pastors and leaders. And Pastor, if there's someone from your church you want to bring with you that's not in leadership, as long as you're bringing them, that's fine. That'll be in Middle Island at Holding Out Hope Church, 9 in the morning. Free breakfast. I'll talk about these books, take your questions, and then do a book signing before we head into Manhattan. Just looked at a new review to Hyper Grace, and I was blessed by what a pastor had to say in reviewing the book. While reading this book, I was impressed with Dr. Brown's efforts to create a dialogue based on scripture, reason, and common sense. And he talks about the importance of understanding grace rightly in his own life and challenges those who may disagree with me to actually read and prayerfully consider what the book has to say. Friends, we just have our last copies now that are numbered for me to sign. This is from the first printing, numbered copies, kind of like a collector's item. I'll sign these, send them to your gift of $30 or more. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, or call 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, when we look at the news of the world in 2013, we hear all the bad things that happened. How about looking back to the wonderful things God has done? Well, it's the end of the year. What do you feel were the biggest stories of 2013 in the church and in the world? And the Hyper Grace controversy is ready to explode.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So looking back at 2013, has it been a good year or a bad year? Has it been a year of forward progress in America and the church in America as we focus on our country in particular today, or negative? Is it one that at the end of the year gives you hope and courage for the next year? Or do you have to ignore what's happening around you and just look to the Lord? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us as we come to the end of 2013, delighted to be with you, delighted to take your calls, delighted to interact. What I found interesting when I asked the question in the last hour to our listeners, what do you feel was the most significant story of the year 2013? A couple of callers drew attention to individuals. All drew attention to individuals. The calls we took on the subject drew attention to individuals. But two in themselves were not famous individuals. They only became famous because of the terrible hardship that they experienced standing up for what was right. And as a result of that, they have become known around the world. It's interesting to think about. 866-348-7884. Often, and just some year-end reflections here, a lot of different things I want to chat with you about today. Often, we really try to avoid suffering, hardship, and rightly so. If I could get on a plane that would safely get me to my destination versus get on a plane that would crash and I'd survive with broken legs, well, I'm going to get on the plane that's going to get me there safely. If I could go out with my family for a dinner and have a nice family dinner and go home and enjoy the rest of the night and be productive versus go somewhere and get food poisoning and we all end up in the hospital, well, obviously I'll go the former route. We all would. Now, I mean, I don't mind working out where there's no pain, no gain, all that. I understand that. And discipline is important. But we do not want to go the way of pain and suffering. If I had the choice of wishing you health or cancer, I'm going to wish you health. And I trust the same for me. If I had the choice of wishing a newlywed couple a wonderful union together for the rest of their lives or a calamitous divorce, obviously I'm going to wish them a wonderful union for the rest of their lives. Even on a more superficial level, but one that still touches us, if I could wish you financial prosperity or grinding poverty, I'd rather wish you financial prosperity, knowing also that that can be a trap in itself. But obviously, rather see your needs met and you at least have the choice to use your abundance to help others than to see you dying of hunger in the street, obviously. And yet it's often through tragedy that God brings greater good. God's a redeemer. And if we don't look at him as the cause of the evil or the cause of the disaster in every case, and here's where I debate some of these issues with some of my Calvinist friends, but if we didn't look at him in that way but agreed on this, he's a redeemer, there's far more glory to God through the healing of someone who was born blind than glory to God over someone recovering from a minor cold that they were going to recover from anyway. So don't be surprised that sometimes it's out of great hardship, like the 15-year-old Pakistani girl who was mentioned the first hour, who just stood up for a woman's right to be educated and was shot by the Taliban, shot in the head, and survived that. Her story speaks much more loudly. Sometimes it's the worst things that become the best things and the stumbling blocks that become the stepping stones. All right, back with your calls.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Man, I'm looking at this website on Huffington Post, the top 10 most read TV stories of 2013. Boy, I'm out of the loop on a lot of this, which is not a negative. 866-348-7884. I mean, the number one most read TV story of the year, canceled TV shows for 2013, Guide to the Futures of the Good Wife, Happy Endings, and more. I never heard of any of those shows, don't know anything about them, but I guess it was big news to some. Oh, and the number two most read TV story of the year in the Huffington Post, the Emmy Awards 2013. The awards go to Breaking Bad, Veep, and more. So that's to say, another story I missed. And then number three most read TV story of the year, Duck Dynasty Stars Without Beards. Do you recognize the Robertson clan without their facial hair? At least I have heard of Duck Dynasty, especially with the recent controversy. And anyway, enough with that. One thing to say, the media does influence us often a whole lot more than we realize. And for those of us that, I'll mainly see some sports here and there, to chill with family or relax on my own. That's what I'm most familiar with. But I do follow other things that are happening. And one thing that's going to be happening that's going to be major news on New Year's Day is the Rose Bowl Parade, one of the favorite events of the year in terms of the historic Tournament of Roses Parade, and hundreds of thousands watching it in person and millions watching it on TV. This year, Danny LeClaire, 45, submitted an application in October as the Tournament of Roses was going to have a float sponsored by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. So he said, hey, could I be part of the float? This is a 125-year-old event parade. And Danny LeClaire and his partner, Aubrey Lutz, 42, are going to, quote, get married live on the float as part of the Rose Day Parade. Friends, this is nothing that's going to go away. Of course, I care for these men as individuals and want to see them really come to know the Lord and really understand God's purposes for their lives. And they may be very committed to each other. Doesn't lessen the wrongness of this. But to celebrate this on national and international TV at the Rose Bowl Parade is outrageous. Outrageous. That's why we have raised our voice these years, drawing attention to the dangers of gay activism while calling for a compassionate outreach to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's see. Let's go to the phones. Susan in Euless, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am very, very, very grateful that God is using you. He's used you. He's appointed you for such a time as this, Dr. Brown, to literally stand up for what is right. I was so pleased to see and listen to what you had to say on the Sid Ross show. I was very, very glad because there are TV evangelists I will not mention, but you've told me once before that I was to pray for them, and I have with certain ones before in the past, and I've seen a change in them for the good throughout praying consistently. But there are those that I will not mention that are, I cannot, you know exactly who they are. I can't look at them. I can't listen to them because, first of all, one of them just gloats. You can see it's all over him. And he just, it is heresy. This is heresy. And it's literally scaring me because so many people are being told it's okay to keep sinning. God is a righteous God. He will not be mocked. And I really believe, Dr. Brown, God is using you to put a spotlight and saying, no, this is wrong. And I do believe that some of these people that are on television are going to hear your message, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will quicken and convict them. Because if they don't stop this, I do pray, and I do believe, one day he will close these doors. Because these people that they're shepherding, and they're getting millions of dollars, you know, from books, CDs, TVs, you know, they're gonna be shaken, because this is heresy, and he doesn't want anybody to perish. And these people are believing horrific lies. It's an abomination. And then the last thing, what you said about that gentleman, you're right. It's an abomination, that homosexual trash. It is an abomination. We do care about the souls, but we cannot condone what is wrong. And it is getting where it can be intimidating, because it's so seducing. There's a lady on the television that is a lesbian, and people don't realize it doesn't just stay on the TV. It doesn't just stay in her studio. I can feel the presence of perversion when she has been on. Even before I go into my client's house, I'll pray, what am I supposed to bind? When I go in, and there's these people that watch it, you can feel the spirit of perversion, huge, of lesbian and homosexual spirits. It's a reality. This is real. Those spirits aren't meant to just stay there. They're meant to seduce the American people and to nullify them into corruption, into things that are vile, that's going to feel good for a season, but payday is coming.
Yeah, and Susan, let me just jump in. I very much appreciate your kind words and your appreciation for the message that we bring. For those that are not familiar with what Susan's referring to, my interviews recorded a few months back, but now just being aired, this was the time that they were set for, with my longtime friend Sid Roth, who has a tremendous burden to see Jewish people come to know the Lord and to see God's power demonstrated to set the lost free. Sid had me on, also burdened about the subject of hypergrace. My book, Hypergrace, officially being released next week. It can be ordered now, and Sid's offering it actually with a great package through his ministry. We did these interviews on his TV show as well as airing on the radio, and we're getting responses from folks who saw the TV broadcast. Here's the real issue, and I want to come back in a moment to the issue of lesbianism and homosexuality, but Susan, thank you for the call. I do appreciate that. And the book we're talking about is my book, Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message. I just saw this tweet earlier today, and I miss a lot of tweets and Facebook posts. Obviously, I can't see them or respond to all of them, even though we don't have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people following us on Twitter and Facebook. Our reach is to hundreds of thousands easily, and many respond. We can't get to everyone. But Michael posted this on Twitter. Hi, sir. I'm thinking of buying your book, Hyper Grace. But I also love Joseph Prince teaching. Grace teaching set me free from alcohol. Help. And I said, oh, my book is exactly what you want then. Because hypergrace extols true grace. Hypergrace, my book Hypergrace, is jealous for true grace. That's why I wrote the book. And where I expose the errors of the hypergrace message, I do so in a way that whatever is torn down, we build up something better. In other words, if I show you an error in the hypergrace message, then we'll give you truth that is better for your soul long term. So Pastor Joseph Prince has a tremendous message about grace in so many ways that literally millions have benefited from. And it's delivered them from wrong concepts of God. It's delivered them from bondage in different ways. It's set some of them free to live victorious lives over sin. It's helped many of them to become more intimate with the Lord. I don't doubt that for a second. At the same time, there's dangerous error that is mixed in with his message that is hurting many and that is spreading like wildfire in a destructive way through the body, and it needs to be addressed. Now, to anyone that I differ with in my Hypergrace book, if I quote your name in the book and differ with you, be it a book you wrote, be it a TV broadcast that you did, be it your blog, if I differ with you, you're welcome to come on the air with me and to defend your views or to explain what you actually believe if you feel it's misrepresented. I did my best in the book to do it fairly. In fact, I wrestled for months about how to write this book. Do I quote people by name? Do I mention names? If I do it, can I do it in a constructive, not a destructive way? People already accuse me, you're attacking it. No. Read the book. Read the book, and then you'll see. But when I was in India last year, God spoke to me plainly during a prayer time with pastors and leaders there. You know exactly what you need to do, which meant write the book forthrightly and lay out the differences by name with the individuals. The challenge is there are wonderful truths mixed with serious error. How do we deliver people from the error while at the same time reinforcing the truth? That's what I seek to do in Hyper Grace. All right, a few loose ends. We'll tie them up when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to talk to you about some issues relating to end of the year, looking back at top stories and events and things like that. I mentioned in the first hour that as much as I was appalled by Phil Robertson being suspended by A&E for his comments in GQ magazine, specifically the sexuality-related comments, of course, he was reinstated, obviously, the power of the dollar. Amazing, huh? As much as that's the case, I'm not looking for him to be the new face of Christianity in America. And if we are to reach a lost world, we're going to have to do it with greater sensitivity as we do communicate without compromising truth one iota. At the same time, I mentioned Pope Francis that, look, he got praised by abortion rights groups. They thanked him, thinking that he was softening the church's stance on abortion, which he wasn't. He was just saying, if that's all we talk about, abortion, homosexuality, then how are hurting sinners ever going to come to the church? I'm not Catholic, by the way. But I'm saying this as an advocate for the approach of being known for our heart for the poor and our compassion for the lost and the hurting. So when I look at the picture of these two gay men who are going to have a, quote, marriage ceremony on a float live during the Rose Bowl parade, the Tournament of Roses, on New Year's Day, I look at them with love for them. I look at them not thinking how perverted they are. I look at them as people who need the gospel and who need transformation and who may be very much committed to each other and very much in love with each other, although it's not the love that God has ordained, because there is unique love between a man and woman that is unique and that is what he intended. I don't look at them as child predators. I look at them as two men who may be very nice guys, but who desperately need the gospel and who are being known for something that is wrong and perverse in God's sight. In the same way, I read the report Robin Roberts, I'm not familiar with, reveals she is gay, and thank you note to Good Morning American fans. So she's a co-host, a cancer survivor. She's come out as lesbian. I don't look at her as again, I don't know her aside from just this story, as any more of an evil woman, or think that she and her partner are involved in all types of atrocities, aside from the fact that God is against same-sex sexual relations and romantic relations. These are human beings loved by God. These are human beings loved by God. And one of the things that we have really seen come to the fore in 2013, one of the great lessons to learn is we are going to continue to have to deal with these two things: refusal to compromise our convictions, while at the same time demonstrating the compassion of the Lord. That is a great challenge that remains for the people of God. 866-34-TRUTH. Pew Research, 1 month ago, had experts rank the top 10 global trends. The top 10 global trends. Number 10, the rapid spread of misinformation online. Number 9, the growing importance of megacities. By the way, when we flew into China last month, just trying to get my months right, we flew into the city of Shanghai. And I didn't realize, but Shanghai is the biggest city in China and, according to stats I read, the biggest city in the world. Number 8, the expanding middle class in Asia. Number 7, fascinating, a lack of values in leadership. Yeah, obviously this has been a crisis for many, many years in terms of looking to political leaders as leaders with real values and convictions and moral standards. But here you go. Trend number 7. Number 6, the diminishing confidence in economic policies. So at the same time that you have the expanding middle class in Asia and the growing importance of mega cities, you have the diminishing confidence in economic policies. Number 5, inaction on climate change. I guess bigger issue would be how much climate change is really taking place or which direction is it going. Number 4, intensifying cyber threats. Yeah, I think it's enlightening to many to realize how open your information might be. And by the way, Nancy and I talked about this some months back when the revelations came, the Snowden revelations about NSA and more wiretapping or phone tapping or email hacking going on than we might have realized. And obviously, no one wants their privacy intruded on or the potential of identity theft or the like. But on the flip side, there was this reminder. And something we talked about, hey, live your life in such a way that you don't have secrets. Yeah, I'll send a loving, sweet email to Nancy that's just for her ears. You know, if I'm praying for her and just letting her know, hey, I'm praying, maybe she's sick and I'm praying for her and just express my solidarity with her as I'm praying for her. Okay, that's meant for her. But at the same time, we want to live in such a way that we don't have secrets. That if someone hacked our emails and watched what we watch and listened to what we say over the phone, that there'd be nothing indicting that they could come away with. Number 3, persistent structural unemployment. Number 2, widening income disparities. Yeah, the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. And number 1, significant global trends, rising societal tensions in the Middle East and North Africa. This is basically as they're looking forward to see what these trends are going to be coming to the end of 2013. Interesting. All right. Bunch of things to talk about, some questions I want to ask you when we come back. But today's your opportunity, and 5 days this week, and that's it. We're done. We have our last numbered copies of Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message. So kind of makes the book a collector's item, the first few hundred numbered, and then I sign them with a scripture reference for each of you. Personally, I have some more on my desk to sign as soon as I have a break to do it. $30 postage paid, and we'll send you this. Again, it's just a special way to have the book. It's the first printing. We've only done this with a couple of books we've published in our history where we've numbered and signed them like this. So Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message. And I'm so pleased to hear from people who are finding the book scripturally rich, finding how grace is truly exalted in the book while serious error is addressed, but in a gracious way. If you can help with an additional year-end gift, that would be wonderful. That would be tremendous. But we want to send this out again. This is the last week we'll be doing this. Numbered and signed copies of Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message. $30 postage paid. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. You can click on the homepage to do this. Or if you're listening on one place, click on the link there. Or give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. By the way, we will be coming your way live on New Year's Eve, so looking forward to that broadcast as we'll do a bunch of things that will edify and bless and encourage you, I trust, and always happy to interact with you. And here, let me give you a year-end invitation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me give you a year-end invitation. Is there something that's been bothering you about something I've said or a guest said? It's stuck in your craw. You differ with me. You're upset with me about something. You take issue with something. You've got a different perspective you want to raise. Is that the case? If so, why not give me a call and tell me? Don't let the year go out still being bothered. Don't let the year go by and you're concerned about something, or maybe you misunderstood something. And why do that? Why not give a call and air it out and tell us why? 866-348-7884. If you want to give me a piece of your mind, as long as you don't use profanity or violate rules of decorum for Christian radio broadcast, go ahead. Maybe it'll do you good. You know, I once went to a meeting where I knew I had been slandered by a lot of people and misunderstood and misrepresented by a lot of people. And I went to the meeting with the hope that if I went there, I was invited to go. I knew a lot of people at the meeting loved me and esteemed me highly, but I knew others were upset with me, others were hurt, others were bitter, mainly based on misunderstanding. And I thought if I could just show up and they could let it out on me, it'll go a long way towards their healing process. I didn't mind being the butt end of it. That was fine. But if I just see them and let them express what they're upset about, maybe give them a hug and maybe set the record straight for them, but just be there so that they could at least have an outlet for being upset, it would bring healing to them. And I remember one guy getting up and saying how wrong he had been in his attitude towards me, but seeing me was the thing that freed him. So don't let the year go by. Give me a call. Tell me why. Fair enough? 866-348-7884. We'll see how many takers I get on that. A lot of people just are intimidated to call in or feel it's not fair. I control the mic or whatever. But hey, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Also, my latest article, if you haven't read it, Bill O'Reilly and Piers Morgan seek to reinvent Christian morality. It's about the comments they made on their shows about 10 days ago. Of course, the comments were made by Piers Morgan when I was on with him. Check that out by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and just clicking on latest article there. If you haven't seen my interview with Sid Roth, it'll be airing on all of the TV networks where his show is aired, as well as on his radio program as we discuss my new book, Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message. I got to read this earlier. This is a review posted on Amazon, and I guess when the guy who was doing this as a Christian and even had a link to his website had to acknowledge he had never read the book that he was attacking, he pulled it. But he says about Hyper Grace, this book by, quote, Dr. Brown, so doctors in quotes. That's not funny. This book by Dr. Brown is so unbalanced and excludes much scripture. An interesting observation from someone who didn't read the book, by the way. Don't read this, heresy. Grace is the gospel. Extraordinary, extraordinary. The name calling, the attacking, the emotional reactions to something that hasn't been read. It raises the question, why? Why are people so upset when we tell them the truth about God's wonderful grace? Why?
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. What do you think were the biggest stories, or what was the biggest story of 2013? Interesting that readers responding to a CNN poll said it was the resignation of Pope Benedict and the installation of Pope Francis. And then right after that, the Boston Marathon bombing. You know, when you look at the course of a year, it's unreal how much pain and suffering takes place, how many individuals have gone through a hell that most of us can't imagine, how many lives have been affected. But as I mentioned the first hour, I want to mention again, what we don't hear on the news is, for the most part, we don't hear it, what God is doing, what God has done, and how many people have done things sacrificially and courageously to bring life and help and healing and, did I say hope? Life and health and healing and hope. And if we focus on those, we'll be encouraged, not discouraged, while we will still mourn with those who mourn. 866-34-TRUTH. I was just sent this by a Messianic Jewish colleague, and I am thrilled to see this. Gary Burge is a fellow believer. He is a New Testament scholar. His writings on New Testament have blessed many. He also is on almost the exact opposite side to the Israel-Palestinian conflict that I am. And when he has said in one video interview that it's a matter of, you know, you could stand with justice, you could stand with prophecy, I differ. I say you stand with both. Because often when you see what God's doing, not some speculative end time stuff, but the clear patterns of what God's doing and what he's put his own reputation on the line for, then we stand with God and we stand with justice. And I also say to stand with justice ultimately in the Middle East, you need to stand primarily with Israel, and that's where real help can come to all those in the region. We've invited Dr. Burge to dialogue publicly. At this point, he's politely declined. He was invited by Moody Radio. He's a professor at Wheaton. He was invited by Moody to join with me in a debate dialogue about how Christian is Christian Zionism. He declined to do that. Thankfully, I was able to have that interaction with Dr. Stephen Sizer. That being said, again, I appreciate him in so many ways in terms of his scholarship and his work, and absolutely oppose some of the things he's written about Israel and the land and the people. So the good news is this, and I do hope we can have a dialogue, maybe at Wheaton where he teaches, or in another setting, one that will exalt the Lord and draw us all to a deeper love for God's word and God's justice. Here's an announcement from CAMERA, which is an organization devoted to accuracy in the media on reporting on Israel. Pilgrim Press, the publishing house of the United Church of Christ headquartered in Cleveland, Ohio, has offered to include a 6x9-inch insert produced by CAMERA detailing factual errors that appear in the second edition of Whose Land, Whose Promise, What Christians Are Not Being Told About Israel and the Palestinians by Reverend Dr. Gary Burge, a professor of the New Testament at Wheaton College in Illinois. The insert, which CAMERA is currently producing, will be included in future purchases of the book. Pilgrim Press made the offer to CAMERA after the organization alerted the publishing house about some of the errors that appeared in the new and revised version of the text, which was published in November 2013. The first edition of the text, which was marred with factual errors, was published in 2003. While the author made some corrections in the second edition, some errors from the first edition remain. By the way, I read a citation from David Ben-Gurion in Hank Hanegraaff's Apocalypse Code. Hank and I are friends and colleagues, but very, very different views about Israel, the Middle East, God's purposes for the Jewish people. But we are colleagues and friends in the Lord. I read this quote. I'm not a Ben-Gurion scholar, but I read it and thought, no, he didn't say that. That's not him. And I went to see the source. Well, it was a book by Gary Burge, so I got that book. specifically to see. And I saw the quote was not an original primary source in Gary Burgess' book. It was basically to a textbook, like a high school textbook or some kind of textbook like that, that cited it and got back to the original and saw that it was an incorrect citation. There was something that Ben-Gurion had struck out in his writing and incorrectly left a word in that gave a wrong impression. But when you read everything around it, you see, oh, you know, he's saying the opposite of what he was being misquoted to have been said. That's just one error that got my attention. But Camera will now detail some of these errors in its website in the days ahead. So I'm very pleased to see that Pilgrim Press has agreed to do it. And it has to mean that the errors were that egregious. If it's just a matter of difference of opinion, they would not have done it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Rick in Sarasota, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you today, Doc?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I went to a pretty conservative church for about 19 years, and things happened. We left that church, and I found myself surrounded by grace everywhere, and everybody talking about the grace of this and the grace and the grace and the grace. And I'm all about that. I've been through the Bible four times in studies, and I'm just having some challenges with, like, I don't know if I can mention any names on air, but Creflo Dollar is one that a lot of my colleagues are just following him like he's the king of the earth. And I like his teachings, but it just seems so easy. You know, just become a Christian, and no matter what you do, you're going to heaven. And I think it's, to me, it sounds like the clanging cymbals that were talked about in Scripture. And I'm
wondering,
Rick, more about your book. Yes, sir.
Yeah, certainly. I don't mention Creflo Dollar in the Hyper Grace book.
Okay.
Because he's primarily associated with a prosperity gospel and then some controversial statements about the divine nature of Jesus while he was on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. I would differ with him most strongly in terms of a carnal prosperity emphasis and even the misguided notion that Jesus died on the cross to make us rich. And then there are other things that he would say I'm sure I would agree with. But in terms of hyper grace, he may teach that as well. There are a number of Word of Faith teachers like Andrew Womack who have now added other dimensions to their teaching, which puts them squarely in the hyper grace camp. And one of the most fundamental errors, one of the most dangerous errors of the hyper grace message is this. The moment you were saved, God not only forgave your past and present sins, but also pronounced you forgiven of all your future sins, which means if you do sin, he doesn't see it. It means he will never convict you of sin because he doesn't deal with sin anymore. It means that your sin could never grieve him because he sees you as perfectly righteous, and on and on. You say, well, what do you do with the Lord's Prayer where Jesus says that God will forgive us as we forgive others and to pray daily for forgiveness? Well, then you throw out all the Sermon on the Mount and say that's not for today. What do you do with 1 John 1:9 if we confess our sins? Well, that doesn't apply to us. That was Gnostic heretics that John was reaching out to. You have these bizarre interpretations of the text that simply don't work. Rather than saying God is extraordinarily gracious and patient with us as people, the death Jesus died on the cross paid for every sin we could ever commit in a billion years, but forgiveness is transacted as we come to God and ask for his mercy and grace. And because he has saved us to serve, he has saved us to live for him, it is grace with responsibility. That's why often in the New Testament, the Word of God says, walk worthy of the gospel. Walk worthy of your calling. It's not salvation by works. Just like this, if you were suddenly brought into a palatial estate and said, this is just a gift from the king, you can stay here for 1 month. It's a complete gift from the king, but don't trash this place. Walk worthy of it. If you trash it, we're going to have to ask you to leave. Well, it's all undeserved, and there's unlimited bounty and food and everything you can imagine to give the spiritual picture, but we have to walk worthy of it. So throughout the New Testament, there's a very clear calling to obedience and to holiness and to purity, and God's grace helps us live that out. Now, the hyper-grace teachers that I quote in my book, like Joseph Prince and Clark Witton and Andrew Farley, have so many wonderful things to say, and all of them say grace is not a license to sin. But because they also teach that your future sins are already forgiven, that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict of sin today, that the Sermon on the Mount is not for today, teachings like that, it opens the door wide to complacency, flesh, and hey, if the Holy Spirit's never convicting me, that changes things a whole lot. Thanks for the call, Rick.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. We will be live on the air New Year's Eve. If that's a free day for you, a non-work day, or getting out of work early and you're able to call when you normally can't, by all means, 866-348-7884. Our phone line's still open today. I may get to a call or two before we're done. Let's see. Just some top 10 lists here. This is Olivia Waxman, Times top 10 of everything 2013 lists here. The top 10 apologies. Number 10, this is just again their words. Alex Baldwin's vow to not use homophobic slurs. We'll go down to 8. Rupert Murdoch's mea culpa for an offensive cartoon. Number 7, JCPenney's plea to win back customers. Number 6, Oprah's apology for insinuating a store clerk was racist. Let's see. Number 5, Sanjay Gupta's flip-flop on medical marijuana. Number 4, 60 Minutes retraction of its Benghazi expose. Number 3, Barack Obama's mea culpa for flip-flopping on the effects of Obamacare. Number 2, Rob Ford's begging for forgiveness for smoking crack cocaine. That's mayor of Toronto. And number 1, Paula Deen's mea culpa for using the N-word. Hey, how about, well, A&E didn't apologize so much for suspending Phil Robertson, but they caved on that pretty quick. Honestly, I didn't see that coming initially. I didn't think they were going to cave because it'd just be too much pressure from the gay activist side and the politically correct side, and I certainly didn't expect Phil Robertson or his clan to cave. But A&E caved quickly. Obviously, it's all about the money. How about Cracker Barrel? When they pulled all Duck Dynasty stuff and said, hey, we did it so as not to offend and did the exact opposite. We offended a ton of you. I mean, you have to wonder what they're thinking. This is Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel. Country store, right? Cracker Barrel. You think their constituents are a bit more in tune with Duck Dynasty than with a gay activist anti-defamation, really anti-disagreement organization. But that I like their apology. I like the way they apologized. Let's see. This is according to James Rudin, James Rudin Religion News Service article, his top 10 religion stories from 2013. Number 10, he mentions a number of notable deaths. Number 9, Rezla Aslan and Jesus. Yeah, his book on Jesus is zeal. I mean, nothing new in the book and not some great work of scholarship, and somehow remains a national bestseller. Figure that one out. Well, just saying something different about Jesus. Let's see. Who is a Jew survey? Pew Research Center. Yeah, that was interesting. And even Jewish openness to the message of Jesus. Number 7, cracks in the stained glass ceiling. The Reverend Elizabeth Eaton was elected presiding bishop of Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, first for the denomination as a woman. Number 6, gay marriage. Popular support for same-sex marriage increased as the U.S. Supreme Court struck down large sections of the Defense of Marriage Act, etc. Number 5, President Barack Obama paid his first visit to the Jewish state as president in May. More to that. Number four, terrorism at home and abroad. Number three, falls from grace. So some major leaders in the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Jewish world having significant falls from grace. Number two, Sunni Shiite schism. The brutal Syrian civil war and overthrow of Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi shattered hopes for a kinder, gentler Islamic world. And number one story, a pair of popes. Pope Benedict XVI's surprise resignation and the election of the Argentina-born Pope Francis was easily the biggest story of the year. And let's see. Top 10 religion stories of the year from The Exchange, a blog by Ed Stetzer. Number 10, Muslims join those across the country who condemn a devastating bombing at the Boston Marathon by two young Muslim men. Number 9, the Boy Scouts of America, after much debate, votes to accept openly gay scouts but not scoutmasters. Oh, give that time. Time to get out of the Boy Scouts and join other organizations. They've made a very tragic stance and an unnecessary one. I'm not getting into that right now. Call me hateful, but listen to what I've said on it previously before you do that. Number 8, more than 1 in 5 Jews in America now report having no religion. That, of course, tragic, but perhaps something that God can use in the vacuum of their lives to draw them to himself. Let me just move up here. Number 6, icon of reconciliation and nonviolence, Nelson Mandela dies at age 95. Story number 5, Islam plays a central role in the post-Arab Spring Middle East as the Egyptian military ousts the elected president, etc. Number 4, the Obama administration makes concessions to faith-based groups. Yeah, but way too few and way too far between. Number 3, U.S. Supreme Court, 5-4 vote, clears the way for gay marriage in California. Remember, for those of you who wonder why we make an issue of these things, just watch the Rose Bowl Parade New Year's Day and see if you happen to notice a celebration of homosexual so-called marriage as two men have a ceremony performed live in the Tournament of Roses Rose Bowl Parade. This is not going away. This is in your face. You can have the utmost compassion for gay and lesbian individuals. Could be your family member, could be your friend, could be your spouse, could be someone you've known for decades, could be the nicest boss, employee you've ever had. No one's demonizing a whole group of people. We're simply saying God did not intend a man to marry a woman. God did not intend sexual relations between those of the same sex, romantic relations. It is utterly destructive for society when we tamper with the foundations of marriage and family and gender. And obviously, the number 1 and 2 story, number 2, Pope Benedict resigning, number 2, Jorge Mario Bergoglio of Argentina, the surprise choice to succeed Benedict, becomes the first Latin American, first Jesuit pope, the first to take the name of Francis, immediately launches a series of stunning and generally popular forays, meeting with the poor in Brazil, embracing the ill, issuing conciliatory words towards gays and calling for a poorer and more pastoral church, while at the same time not actually changing any church doctrine, which of course he couldn't just do on his own anyway. The amazing thing is, so many wonderful things God has done in the midst of the suffering, pain, those don't get reported, but you and I can make a difference, and one day heaven will know the story. So let's live for God with the confidence that every individual life can be used by God to make a difference. The prayers you pray, the example you set, the words you speak, the way you raise your kids, what you do with your finances, who you share the gospel with, there can be a ripple effect that touches a whole generation. Hey, last week we're doing this. My Hyper Grace book, the first printing, numbered copies, and signed with a scripture to you individually. So it is a collector's item, $30, postage paid, and the controversy is already swirling around what could be one of the most important books I've ever written. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, never underestimate what God could do through yielded life. Never underestimate the role you could play as a history maker by simply walking in obedience to the Lord day by day.